You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports. Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me in the studio on this Monday morning is Jeremiah Penrod, Hank Williams Jr.'s long-lost relative. How are you doing today, sir?
A little tired, but we're going to get through it.
Yep, always, always. Well, we're going to start off today with some IndyCar news to recap the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix. Winning the race was Scott McLaughlin going back-to-back at Barber Motorsports Park. Won last year, wins this year. What a great result for him because he was last in the point standings. And with that win, that puts him ninth in the points thing. So, yeah, I think winning a race helps a lot in the NTT IndyCar Series, especially if you're last in points and now you're in the top 10. That was a very exciting race. If any of you guys didn't tune in to the race, it wasn't the most caution-filled race, but it was a very fun, exciting, action-packed, especially in the midfield part of the field. It was very action-packed. A couple spins. Christian Rasmussen spun out a few times. No caution was caused of it. No, Pietro Fittipaldi, he crashed out of the race. Scott Dixon passed out. He spun out.
It'd be very scary if he passed out.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He spun out, and it was same corner that him and Joseph Newgarden spun out at, and it was a very tricky corner for those drivers. I'm not sure what part of the racetrack it was, but they were really having issues trying to locking up their brakes. I believe Will Power, he didn't spin out, but he went off track once, locked up the tires, and was getting into a braking zone and gotten the gravel and couldn't really place the right size of his tires well, getting into the entry of the corner and went off track. But it was a great race other than that. Second was Will Power, so a 1-2 for Team Penske after the very, I would say, controversial week last week, which we will go into in further detail after we recap the top 10. Third, Linus Lundqvist. This kid had a fantastic race, his first podium in the NTT IndyCar Series. I think this kid has what it takes to be very successful in the NTT IndyCar Series. A lot of potential there. Drove a spectacular race, very spectacular race. I believe the main reason why he was able to get this result was because there was an early caution in the race. I believe it was for Pietro Fittipaldi, I'm pretty sure. Trying to recap in my head of what happened during the race that opened up you're going to do a two-stop strategy or a three-stop strategy. And some drivers ended up taking the two-stop strategy, but Lundqvist, I believe, took the three-stop and was able to finish third. Felix Rosenqvist was on the two-stopper, so was Alex Palou. Christian Lundgaard was not. He was on a three-stop strategy, finishing sixth. Seventh, Santino Ferrucci. Great result for him in the AJ Foyt Racing Group. Led some laps, looked really, really competitive. And that 14 Chevrolet looked very fast. And it's a great result to just see seven-time NTT IndyCar Series champion, a four-time Indianapolis 500 champion, A.J. Foyt, his team having success and a great top 10 result. Eighth was Colton Herta. Very consistent day. Stayed out of trouble. Great consistent finish. Ninth, Marcus Armstrong made it to his first Fast 6 in the NTT IndyCar Series. And looked very competitive as well. He was on a two-stop strategy. And rounding out the top 10 was Kyle Kirkwood. More on Marcus Armstrong. I think he has a lot of potential to be very successful in the NTT IndyCar Series. Chip Ganassi Racing has a young core set up for the future with Linus Lundqvist, Marcus Armstrong, and hopefully Kiffin Simpson can start getting some better results. He finished in the top 20 at Barber, so it was a pretty good result. You're a rookie still trying to find your footing in the NTT IndyCar Series, the most competitive racing series in the world, and it's just a great result for the whole Chip Ganassi group and their young core that is coming up through the ranks and taking on these well-experienced veterans in the NTT IndyCar Series. Moving on here, this is what I'd like to get to with the controversial news with Team Penske, Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, and Will Power. Yep, so on April 24th, this was posted by theracer.com by Marshall Pruitt that the NTT IndyCar Series disqualified Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin. They were both disqualified. So that stripped away Joseph Newgarden's win. He was the leader in the championship. So that stripped away a win and first in the championship. This all came about after the Long Beach weekend, which was last weekend. And all of his points are mostly gone. So his first in the standings, he's now not first, and he's back in 15th or somewhere around there in the point standings. Scott McLaughlin, who he finished third in the race at St. Pete, was disqualified. So going from, he didn't also have a great weekend at Long Beach. He went from being in the top 10 after Long Beach to being dead last in the championship.
Jeez.
So, it's pretty bad. Will Power, out of the whole damage limitation of this, he was only docked 10 points from the championship.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. 10 points?
I know.
10 whole points?
Yeah, but Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin were disqualified from their finishes at St. Petersburg.
What for?
This was due to them violating the push to pass, which, folks, if you do not know what the push to pass is in IndyCar, all the drivers before the race are given so many seconds of push to pass, which if you use it, increases your horsepower. So you have so many seconds of using it. And Joseph Newgarden and Scott McLaughlin used it during the wrong times at the St. Petersburg race. So that's why they were disqualified. IndyCar disqualified them after the weekend at Long Beach. Mm-hmm. So, but what really surprises me is I can't believe they didn't catch it
before
Long Beach. And they didn't catch it right after the weekend at St. Petersburg.
It's like they waited until they had actual good points to take away.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. If NTT IndyCar Series officials didn't look at telemetry or a lot of information after the St. Petersburg race.
I get that there's a lot of information to process, but if you can't get it done,
or they just
before the next race,
yeah, or they just didn't have the information at the right time.
I mean, it should be broadcast directly to the crew.
I'm not 100% sure. I know that, you know, St. Petersburg was the first race this season. We went on a few weeks of a break for the NTT IndyCar Series.
Uh-huh.
And they did the expedition race at Thermal Club. After the Thermal Club expedition, the NTT IndyCar Series took a few weeks break, went to Long Beach, and after Long Beach, NTT IndyCar Series said, Team Penske, Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, your team violated the push-to-pass feature. during the St. Petersburg race and you guys used it at the wrong times, you will be disqualified.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But Pat O'Ward, who placed second at Long Beach, at St. Petersburg, excuse me, was promoted to first place after Joseph Newgarden being disqualified and picking up the win at St. Petersburg. It has been a rough start of the season for Arrow McLaren, which we'll go into later in the show. But I have here two bits of the Joseph Newgarden press conference interview on this whole situation regarding Team Penske, Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, all using push to pass at the wrong time and not following the rules of the NCT IndyCar Series and the whole push to pass guidelines. This is coming from NBC and the NTT IndyCar Series. So Jeremiah and I are going to step aside and we're going to play these two clips and then we'll come back and discuss what our thoughts are on these interviews.
I used push to pass at an unauthorized time twice on two different restarts. And there's really nothing else to it other than that. That those are the rules and we did not adhere to them. I think it's, you know, for me, what's really important about that too is, you know, there's only one person sitting in the car. It's just me. And so that responsibility and the use of the push to pass in the correct manner falls completely on me. It is my responsibility to know the rules and the regulations at all points and to make sure that I get that right. And with that regard, you know, I failed my team miserably. It's like a complete failure from my side to get that right. You know, it's my job as the leader of the two car to not make mistakes like that. You cannot make a mistake at this level in that situation. There's no room for it. There's no room for that type of mistake anywhere, or certainly not at the top level of motorsports. And I don't want to hide from that. It's, you know, for me, it's an embarrassing situation to have to go through. We convinced ourselves that there was a rule change to restart specifically with overtake usage. And you say, well, how do you come up with this? That's never happened before. The only place that this got introduced was with the thermal exhibition race. It's the only time in my time in IndyCar where we've actually had a legitimate legal change of the push-to-pass system where it's going to be operable at a time other than, you know, at the alt start finish line. It was going to be usable in qualifying too. There was a lot of discussion around it, and we somehow genuinely believed and convinced ourselves that at St. Pete the rule was now you can use it immediately on restarts. You don't have to wait till the alt start finish line. It's going to be available immediately. And I even wanted the team to remind me of this so that I didn't forget. I'm like, well, if I, you know, whenever you get something new as a driver, you're always like, please remind me. It's easy for me to forget this stuff with everything going on inside the car. I don't want to put out a statement. You know, I two things matter to me. Accountability, and we have to be held accountable for any sort of mistake. Whether you meant to do it or not, you got to be held accountable. And the truth matters to me. And you know, today I want to be held accountable for what I did and the actions I took, and I want to tell people the truth.
And that was the recap of the press conference interview that took place at Barber Motorsports Park with Joseph Newgarden discussing the push-to-pass issue involving him and Team Penske. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts?
I'm not going to lie. He almost sounded, and like, excuse my terminology here, he almost sounded like a scolded child. Where it's like he's saying this, where it's like, yeah, I was told basically to say this. I kind of feel bad about it. But like at the same time, it's like I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing, but I guess it wasn't. So it's like I'm just going to repeat back what they said and hope this is what's going to happen for the best.
Yeah, my thoughts on this, Joseph Newgarden took full responsibility. I love that. He took full responsibility of his actions. He blamed everything on himself for the most part, with regarding him using the push to pass button at the wrong time, and that goes on him. That's on him for using the push to pass when he wasn't supposed to, and he took full responsibility. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. And as a team owner and Roger Penske, you want that in your drivers to take full responsibility, accountability, and be honest in their actions. You want that in life in general with people. And that brings out a lot about Joseph Newgarden's character. Is he's taking full responsibility, and what he said was very true. And I understand with the whole the Thermal Club race and how NTT IndyCar Series introduced that drivers were allowed to use push to pass on restarts at Thermal, and he wanted the team to remind him of the push to pass because he's so busy going on in the car with what's going on and pushing buttons and keeping, you know, his foot on the throttle, steering. And
not to mention several G's of force.
Yeah, several G's of force. And
launch and hit the brakes. And
these steering wheels have a digital dash on them. So, and there's also all these sorts of buttons that he can adjust and all these different screens that pop up on that digital dash.
You know what the cars don't have, though?
What?
Updated chassis.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Penrod putting it out there. Updated chassis. But it's just, wow. It's just very, very interesting to me was this interview and the whole push-to-pass issue with Team Penske. As a Penske fan, I was like, what? Somehow Team Penske cheated? How? How?
Here's my whole thing. If we have so much technology nowadays, right now, we can literally program a car at this point to only go off when it's supposed to, like on the push to pass. You can literally put that technology in the car.
Yeah.
It's like you can, we have tractors that can harvest an entire field and plant an entire field by themselves. No driver necessary. The driver's just there to make sure that the stuff doesn't, you know, mess up. So you can put checkpoints in a car's route.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, from here to here, you're allowed to use this. From here to here, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
They could do that.
Yeah.
Is my whole thing.
The issue with that is push to pass, you only have so much time push to pass. And it's up to the driver when they would like to use push to pass.
Yeah. Well, my whole thing is like, you have it where you're able to use it.
You can program the button to work and not to work. Yeah, I get that. Like it, I get what you're saying now. I understand that the button shouldn't be allowed to use on restarts. If you've hit the button, regardless, it's not going to work because it's programmed to not work. And you'd have some big brain technology. If a caution comes out, well, you can't use push to pass now. Can't use push to pass. So,
I mean, they pretty much have that for like go-kart tracks where it's like they manually slow down when something bad happens. Like someone pushes a button and it's like everything starts to slow down.
Yeah. But
you can have that. The technology is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Justin Newgarden ended up finishing 16th. Not a great result for the two crew after being disqualified from St. Pete. And Long Beach, he finished fourth, which was a decent result. Had a shot at winning that race until he was rear-ended by Colton Herta, which his car went up in the air and went to anti-stall. Couldn't really do anything about that. So, but you are listening to WBG FM HD1 Indianapolis. It is currently 8:06 a.m. here in Indianapolis, Indiana, on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
We may have forgotten to do it last time.
But
we got it now.
Scott Dixon didn't have a great result either. He was the points leader coming in to Barber, finishing 15th. He spun out during the race. He went off course. Had to spin the car back around, get back on track. Arrow McLaren's struggling, y'all. They are struggling in these early goings of the season. Finishing 22nd was Teo Brochere, which that was, I mean, that's not a great result for Arrow McLaren Group. Mm-hmm. And he's a reserve driver, and he beat teammates of his, Paddle Ward finishing 23rd, and Alexander Rossi finishing 25th. Alexander Rossi lost a tire during the race. Yeah, if you lose a tire during the race,
not good.
Not great. You're going to finish in 25th if it's late going in the race. So, but yeah, Arrow McLaren has some work to do to catch up in this championship.
Basically, what we're saying is if the optimal time to lose a tire would probably be at the beginning,
Of the race.
Rather than near the end.
Near the end, but...
drivers take note.
Exactly. We're going to go over the top 10, the championship standings. Colton Herta leaves Barber as the points leader. Only 1 point separates him and second place in the championship, Will Power. So Mr. Consistency and Will Power as well. Scott Dixon's also very consistent. But Will Power won the championship in 2022 on consistency. Only one win. But a ton of podiums, and was enough to beat teammate of his, Joseph Newgarden. Third, Alex Pohl in championship standings. Fourth, Scott Dixon. Fifth, Felix Rosenquist. Props to him and Meyer-Shank Racing this season. That program has revamped. They are way, way more competitive than last season. Looking fast every single weekend so far, so great for him. A sixth paddle award, like I mentioned, Arrow McLaren struggling in the early goings of this season, but you still have one of your drivers in the top 10, and we're early in the season. Seventh, Kyle Kirkwood. Eighth, Linus Lundqvist. Rookie, man. He's a rookie, looking fast. It's unbelievable. It's incredible.
It's good to see those guys doing good.
Doing very well, especially in the early goings of the season. Picked up his first podium yesterday in the NTT IndyCar Series, so great result for him. Ninth, Scott McLaughlin. He would be higher in the championship, like I mentioned earlier, but was disqualified from St. Pete, but picked up the win at Barber, going back-to-back. That, even though I listened to the interview with him and Marty Snyder, that Marty Snyder was like, is this... Were you out for revenge when it came to winning this race at Barber? And he said no, but if I'm the driver of that three crew, I'm definitely feeling very ecstatic, overjoyed, pumped up that after the week that Team Penske, your team being disqualified, that you're able to win and gain a ton of points back and you're back in the fight for the championship. Makes you feel good. I mean, it definitely, you know, put an exclamation point on what happened during that whole week with Team Penske. Rounding up the top 10 of the championship standings is Santino Ferrucci. Wow, looking great for AJ Foyt Racing in the early goings of the championship. Great result at Barber yesterday, and is sitting in 10th. So, yeah. That's going to wrap it up for the NTT IndyCar Series. We're going to move on to the NASCAR Cup Series. They were at Dover International Speedway this weekend. Pick up the win was Denny Hamlin.
That was a close call with him and Larson towards the end.
Yeah, exactly. It was getting very exciting. It was getting real exciting. But air blocking... really helped Denny Hamlin's fortune to win at Dover.
I wasn't really expecting the staying in the middle strategy to work out as well.
Yeah, especially the air blocking, and I thought Larson was going to get a run on him and pass him, but
probably pick up the drag halfway through.
Yeah,
and then just
because off of one and two during the final 10 laps of that final stint, Larson was catching him. One and two was working, but turns three and four, Larson wasn't as good, and Hamlin was able to air block and take the preferred line that Kyle Larson wanted to run on the outside of the racetrack.
And I was a little bit disappointed in this race, I'm not going to lie. I was expecting Truex to win.
Yeah, hometown favorite, won last year's race, led laps, looked very competitive. But he had something wrong with the front of his car. It was the grill and the bumper. There was a gap in between, and that makes your car very tight. So handling went away from Martin Truex Jr., but great points today nonetheless, finishing third. Kyle Busch finishes fourth, sat on pole at Dover. Great result for the 8 crew. It's been a very inconsistent season for that whole team. Some issues and mistakes on Kyle Busch's part, speeding on pit road, and also on the 8 pit crew with, you know, tires not being tied on all the way, a man over the wall too soon, not fueling the car all the way. I can just go on and on, but a lot of things. But great result for the 8 crew.
Chase Elliott coming in fifth.
Yeah, consistency, top 5 result. 6, Noah Gregson. What a result. Best career result at Talladega, Super Speedway, finishing third last weekend, continuing the consistency with Stuart Haas Racing. Yeah. He had some really great
reflexes when everybody crashed at the end.
Yeah. He qualified. Oh,
How do you wreck the whole field and not come in first?
Yeah, I don't. That wasn't him. That was Michael McDowell.
Seriously, McDowell. How do you wreck the whole field and not come in
because,
first?
Well, first off, this was probably because he was all the way towards the outside of the front stretch at Talladega Super Speedway, came down on Brad Keselowski, was not clear, got hooked from behind like his left rear quarter panel, and Brad Keselowski spun him out, and then the whole field crashed. But Noah Gregson finishing 6th, great result for him, Stuart Haas Racing.
Ryan Blaney finishing 7th,
yep. Alex Bowman in 8th, had some speed, looked very competitive. After the final pit stop, the 48 car seemed to fade away. Handling going away, just was not as fast. Daniel Hemric finishing 9th. He locked into a strategy with him staying out and a caution coming out, was able to get fresh tires.
Rounding out the top 10 is Ty Gibbs.
Yep, Ty Gibbs finishing 10th. So, great result. For any of you Jimmy Johnson fans, he finished 28th for Legacy Motor Club. Was not
great
at all competitive during that race. The drivers that did not finish, Darrell Wallace Jr., William Byron led some laps, looked very competitive, had a bad pit stop when the pit crew was jacking up the car, and they dropped the jack, and they had to jack the car back up, and it was like a 20-second pit stop.
Wallace Jr.
Yeah, Christopher Bell finishing 34th. Struggling, especially in the, as of recent, in the season, I'm not finishing a few races. So
Stenhouse Jr.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. had a very fast car. Looking to have a great result until he was involved in the crash with Darrell Wallace Jr. and Christopher Bell. Michael McDowell finishing 36th, he did not finish.
Shocker.
And then Ryan Preece finishing 37th. His car caught on fire, which he was not happy about it. And there was a press conference about it. I wouldn't say press conference. I'd just say it was a post-race interview. It wasn't a press conference, but post-race interview. And he was discussing his frustrations. So.
Yeah.
But
the inside of his door, like the foam inside of one of his doors.
Yeah, it was insane.
Smoking towards the beginning of the race, and just it didn't stop.
Yep. More news here for any of you Kevin Harvick fans. That's including me. 2014 NASCAR Cup Series champion, Daytona 500 champion, over 50 race wins, the NASCAR Cup Series. This was brought about during the Fox pre-race interview for the NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover, and it was announced that Kevin Harvick will be practicing and qualifying the number 5 of Kyle Larson's Hendrick Chevrolet for the All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. This is due to Kyle Larson pulling double duty in the NTT IndyCar Series for the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 for the NASCAR Cup Series. So Kyle Larson will be in Indianapolis on Friday, May 17th, to get ready to qualify for the Indianapolis 500 and practice, and will not be able to attend qualifying for the All-Star Race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. So Rick Hendrick calls past champion, Daytona 500 champion, multiple race wins, and Kevin Harvick gives him a call and says, "Hey, I have a favor to ask you. Can you qualify and practice my car at North Wilkesboro Speedway for the All-Star Weekend?" So I hope Kevin Harvick can sit on the pole. If he sits on the pole, comes out of...
That'd be awesome.
Comes out of retirement to sit on the pole, and Kyle Larson starts out front for the All-Star race, that'd be spectacular. So
that'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. So, but there, this was according to NBC Sports. I got this article, NBCSports.com, that Kyle Larson could have issues returning to North Wilkesboro Speedway. That's if there's complications with Indianapolis 500 qualifying that day as well. So, because there's heat races on May 18th. So if there's complications with Kyle Larson not being able to fly back to North Wilkesboro Speedway, Kevin Harvick will be racing in the heat races, which will determine where Kyle Larson starts in the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro Speedway.
You know, let's just hope that there's no issues with the push to pass or the chassis within these cars.
For IndyCar?
For any of them.
There's no push to pass in NASCAR.
So there won't be an issue there.
Yeah, there will not be an issue for that.
What about the chassis?
For NASCAR? I don't think so.
I don't say NASCAR. I'm talking about the Indy 500 cars.
We'll see about that. What we hope.
Indy cars, come on. Indy cars and F1. Anyways.
Moving on here. This was follow up on Eric Jones's back injury. Eric Jones suffered a compression fracture in the lower vertebrae of his back.
Oof.
Yeah, so that was more based on the injury of Eric Jones. So news article came out, APnews.com, followed up with that of the severity of Eric Jones's injury and, you know, what he actually hurt in his back. So, yeah. Moving on here, we have some big Formula One news. Nico Hülkenberg to return to Sauber in 2025 ahead of Audi's Formula One entry. Audi has got themselves a German driver. They are a German car company, German engine manufacturer. Audi is set for their arrival into Formula One. Audi will enter as the Audi brand in 2026, and it's very exciting news. Very, very exciting news to have Audi in the Formula One series. This is what Nico Hülkenberg had to say. I'm returning to the team I worked with back in 2013. I have fond memories of the strong team spirit in Switzerland. The prospect of competing for Audi is something very special. When a German manufacturer enters Formula One with such determination, it is a unique opportunity to represent the factory team of such a car brand with a power unit made in Germany is a great honor for me. So, yeah, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting news for Audi entering Formula One. Any of you Audi fans out there, it's very exciting. I'm excited to see what Audi does in 2026 and moving forward in Formula One. And hopefully they're very competitive.
Look, I'm just going to say it one more time for this one. I mean, like NASCAR, they've gotten a couple new vehicles. Like, they're nice
car manufacturers.
Yeah, car manufacturers. You got the new looks for a few of them, like the Ford Mustang.
Yeah,
the Dark Horse,
exactly.
You guys, I assume, get more money.
Yeah.
You guys get more money per race because there's a lot more people. Just spend a little bit on chassis. That's all I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. It's what the people are asking, and that's what your drivers are asking.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of time. How long is it going to take?
Audi has offered other drivers to drive for them as their second seat with the Audi team. Those drivers being Carlos Sainz, have made an offer to him. But after the win in Australia for Carlos Sainz, he is looking at his options going further into the future of his career in Formula One. Other drivers that are in the talk of discussion to fill that second seat at Audi are Valtteri Bottas and Guanyu Zhou. My prediction is it is going to be Valtteri Bottas will remain at Sauber. Guanyu Zhou will be out of a seat at Sauber, and Carlos Sainz, I'm predicting him to drive for Mercedes in 2025. So
we'll write these down in a notebook.
Yeah, but
put money on it.
Valtteri Bottas and Guanyu Zhou are going to be ending their contracts at Sauber at the end of this year. So there having had to be some talk and discussions with Audi and what the team's going to be looking like moving forward. Ferrari reserve driver Oliver Bearman, he filled in for Carlos Sainz when his appendicitis bursted at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, appendix bursting is no joke, people. Most of you who've had them will know this. I have been thankful not to have mine burst, but I've been told it's painful.
Yeah.
Very, very painful.
Exactly. Oliver Bearman is expected to replace Nico Hülkenberg at Haas as their new driver to race alongside veteran driver of Kevin Magnussen. He is also a Ferrari reserve driver, so with Haas and their engines being supplied by Ferrari, that relationship there, Ferrari will, I don't really like the term loan out, but this is what it says from motorsport.com, that Ferrari will loan Oliver Bearman to drive in replacing Nico Hülkenberg at Haas. So
they'll lend him.
Lend him, yeah. I still don't like that. I don't, but
it sounds a little too much
Yeah.
I'll give you, if you give me money, you can have him for a short while.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But moving on here, the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Dover International Speedway on Saturday. Ryan Truex picking up the win. Hometown favorite goes back-to-back at Dover International Speedway, picking up his second career win in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Great result for him and the Truex family. Started 12th, the same position he started in last year when he won at Dover. So
nice little circles, linking together.
Great result for Carson Kwoffel, his second start in the NASCAR Xfinity Series for Junior Motorsports. Great result for him. Third, Sam Mayer. Fourth, Sheldon Creed. Fifth, Cole Custer. I expected Cole Custer to win, and the rain was starting to downpour for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and I thought the race was going to end and be over. Well, it didn't, and we ended up going into a NASCAR overtime restart later in to the race, and Cole Custer had to pit. They were the whole team was praying on the rain, but it didn't fall, but he won a stage and looked very competitive. Sixth, A.J. Allmendinger. Seventh, Chandler Smith. Eighth, Kyle Weatherman. Ninth, Anthony Alfredo. Anthony Alfredo also picking up the win in the dash for cash. Our Motorsports and that small team doing very well and picked up $100,000. Tenth, Parker Retzlaff. Moving on here for the race results, the ARCA Menards Series were at Dover Motors Speedway for the general tire, 1-50. Connor Zillage. This kid has got potential, people. He's the same age as me and is insane. Or he's 1 year younger than me. It's pretty incredible. Second was Giovanni Rosario. Third, Carson Quaffle. Fourth, LeVar Scott. Fifth, Andres Perez. Sixth, Chris Wright. Seventh, Andy, I cannot pronounce his last name. I'm going to try my best. It's the seventh place driver. I think it's Andy, is it Jankowiak? I can't really pronounce that last name at all, but
Jankowiak?
Yeah, we'll try that. We'll go with that. I'm not 100% sure. Eighth was Anderson, Indiana's Greg Van Alst. Ninth was Caleb Costner. Not sure if he's related to Kevin Costner. And then 10th was Zachary Tinkle. So,
that's a heck of a last name.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a last name.
Moving on here, the next race for the ARCA Menards Series, their fifth race of their 20-race season schedule, will be Saturday, May 4th at Kansas Speedway. You can watch this on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be 100 laps, and the start time is 1 p.m. and on Central Time and then 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also listen to it on the radio at Motor Racing Network.
That is, of course, after you watch all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. So, because it is May the 4th. So, May the 4th be with you.
Don't worry, you have 2 days. It's May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th.
Yeah, exactly. The NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series return to the track this coming weekend, Saturday, May 4th at 8 o'clock p.m. under the lights at Kansas Speedway for the Heart of America 200. So, it's great to see the trucks trucking back this weekend. Next is the NASCAR Xfinity Series. They will not return to racing until Saturday, May 11th at 1:30 p.m. from Darlington Race with Throwback Weekend. It'll be the first of two races for the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Darlington. So throwing that out there, the track too tough to tame. We'll have two races on the schedule. It'll be their first go-around at Darlington. The Miami Grand Prix for Formula One will be Sunday, May 5th at 4 o'clock p.m. at Miami International Autodrome. So, Formula One heading back to the States. It was a huge attendance for last year's race. So, and the year before. So, it should be very, very exciting. Moving on here, the NASCAR Cup Series Advent Health 400 will be Sunday, May 5th at 3 o'clock p.m. from Kansas Speedway. So that should be a great race. You have a great weekend of racing with the ARCA Menards Series at Kansas, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series at Kansas, racing under the lights. Hopefully Matt Crafton has a great result at Kansas. Multiple race wins there, has great statistics at Kansas, and can get Thor Sport their first win of the season. And the NASCAR Cup Series racing at Kansas as well. And the next race for the NTT IndyCar Series, the month of May, people, will be here. And it'll be the Sanseo Grand Prix at the Indy Grand Prix, May 11th at 3 o'clock p.m. And then after that, people, the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'd like to thank Jeremiah Penrod for coming on today and being part of the show. Couldn't do the show without him. So we're just going to get right into the outro here, people. Love this outro. So thank you, Mr. Penrod. It's always a pleasure, brother. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you miss a live episode of the All Gas No Brakes Racer, that's okay. That's okay. Because you can go to audioboom.com to listen to an episode you may have missed. All of our episodes are posted on Audioboom after the live episode. Or you can just listen to us live at WBDG FM 90.9 FM. The All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show is on from 7:45 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. For Jeremiah Pinnon, I'm your host, Landon Nelson. Big Nelly is out!